Well, hey there, everyone. My name's Graydon, and welcome to Eternity Church's weekly podcast. This week at Eternity, we had the privilege of hosting special guest Wendy Perez. Pastor Benny and Wendy Perez are the lead pastors of Church LV in Las Vegas, and they are great friends of Eternity, and we love when we can have them come in and speak. I know I always love hearing Pastor Wendy speak, so without further ado, here she is.
I'm just totally blown away. I remember coming when, you know, there was no beautiful LED screens. These are gorgeous, aren't they? Remember when we had the curtain back here? We only opened it like for this experience, you know? I mean, the neon heart on the wall, and look at that cool graphic now, you know? And I just look around and I just see the faith and the life that is here. I'm just proud of you. God is just, this is revival. This is what revival looks like. When in a community of faith is just turning to Jesus and hungering. We're thankful for Zoom. We're thankful for YouTube. We're thankful for online church. And we're so grateful because we realize not everyone can be here today, but they can still join in. But nothing replaces being in right in the home together, being in this house together, worshiping together. Come on, the collective faith that is in this room to energize us and encourage us. It's so powerful. That's why Jesus always encouraged us to never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even if sometimes it has to maybe be in our homes or, you know, in creative ways. But there's just something so powerful about being in this room. Amen. Amen and amen. You could be seated. Grab your Bibles. Flip over to Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46. Honored to just be with you here this morning. It was actually my first time flying since quarantine, and I was a little nervous, but it was nothing. It was great. Anyway, so if you have a vacation plan, go for it. It's going to be great. But other than, you know, the mask for a very long time, but we got around it. God is good. We're fine. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm happy to just be here. I brought with me one of our amazing staff members, friends, co-laborers for Jesus, for his kingdom, Allie Fragoso. She runs our Bible college. She's just an amazing leader, an amazing woman. And I'm glad that she's here with me this morning. Thank you, Allie, for coming. Appreciate you. And can we just say a big thank you? I know that your pastors aren't here, but they are some pretty amazing individuals, and I'm thankful for their obedience because of what God is establishing now, come on, in Iowa, in the surrounding states, come on, in the United States, because of their obedience. Can we say a big thank you for our pastors? Amen. All right, Psalm 46, are you there? Good. Guys, this is the late service. You got to sleep in. You are perfectly well caffeinated. I saw that they were handing out coffee when you walked in, so there is no excuse not to respond to me this morning, all right? This is an interactive experience. Amen. Are you ready? Okay, Psalm 46, reading out of the Passion Translation because my love language is words, and I love words. All right. God, you are such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You are a proven help in time of trouble, more than enough and always available whenever I need you. So we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. For the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. Pause in his presence. God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his holy dwelling places. God is in the midst of his city, secure and never shaken. At daybreak, his help will be seen with the appearing of the dawn. When the nations are in uproar with their tottering kingdoms, God simply raises his voice and the earth begins to disintegrate before him. Here he comes. the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Pause in his presence. Everyone look. Come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God, for he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving. You will see that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Pause in his presence. I would like to talk this morning around the thought, heaven says, be still. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it does not return void. Lord, I pray that your word would go down deep in our hearts this morning and bear beautiful, abundant fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, can we thank the worship team? I mean, they just do such a good job. So much time, energy, love. So grateful. Thank you so much. Do I have any dog or animal parents in the house this morning? Animal parents, give me a wave. Okay, like they're getting steadily less. So I don't know what that says about Saturday nights. All the animal lovers come on Saturday. There was a few more at the 9 o'clock, but you're here. You are represented in this place. I am a very good parent of human beings. I have 3 children. I have a 20-year-old BJ, 16-year-old daughter Bella, and a 13-year-old son Benaiah. And I have done a really good job at raising them. Unfortunately, raising kids is exhausting. You know what? You're too exhausted to even respond this morning because they've just sucked the life out of you because all of a sudden, now you're homeschooling them, right? So anyway, being a parent is exhausting, like staying consistent, right? And when you say you're going to do something, you actually do something. That's just a hard one for me because, you know, I just wake up in the morning and see how I feel, you know? I'm just like that type of an individual. But, you know, I raise good kids. Praise the Lord. They're just really, really good kids. So when it came to pets, like, I just didn't have any more energy to enforce rules. Like, I was just really bad at training them. And inevitably, I was just this horrible, horrible pet parent. So we had a wonderful family in our church. They're pastors in our church. And they had a beautiful Frenchie bulldog. And they trained this dog. And this dog was just absolutely the perfect dog. Well, all of a sudden, God added 3 children very, very quickly in quick succession to their life. And they could no longer, because they were raising children, very young children, take care of the dog. So we got to bring Maximus Thor Rubio Perez, he has a hyphenated last name because he has 2 families, into our lives. He is literally the perfect dog, again, because we didn't raise him. So he's such a good dog. I mean, he doesn't even need a leash. He has a leash because that's a law. You know, we understand. We have to wear masks. So, but anyway, so like he doesn't, you just tell him to stop. He stops. You tell him to go. He goes. He knows treat. He knows to sit. I mean, he does all these wonderful things, but he didn't know how to lay down. And so again, we're not good, you know, pet parents. So we went on YouTube, as you do, and you looked up like how to train your dog to lay down. So we figured out these different techniques. And so we took the treat, we put it on the ground. We told him to sit, he sat. Then we told him to lay down and he just sat. Then we told him to lay down and he sat. Then we told him to lay down and he stood up, right? And so I was like, okay, well kids, maybe we need to like show him what lay down means. You know, he doesn't, you know, understand. So we like pulled his little paws out in the front and then pulled the little paws out in the back and kind of like, you know, get down, Max. And so you just see this picture of this dog that's just like, he's down, but he's not quite down. Like, he's poised at any moment to just spring up and run away, but he's gonna get that treat. So whatever he has to do to get that treat, right? So I took taken a picture of him while he's in this very uncomfortable position and put the caption, like, I am laying down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside, right? If there ever was a time in history where we understand how appropriate this is, right? When you walk into Starbucks in the morning and all you need is caffeine and your mask is right here and they stop you at the door, I'm sorry, ma'am, you're gonna have to pull that mask up over your nose. You're like, I'm going to, because I need caffeine. But I'm not wearing a mask on the inside, right? And we're like walking up to get our coffee. We're at Target. We're like, Target, I love you, but I'm about ready to, like, you know, when the lady's like, oh, ma'am, I need you to step back away from the counter. Please step back away from the counter. I'm like, whoo, I know I need a Target fix, but Jesus, help me, right? If there ever was a time where we understood that there can be outward conformity but inward rebellion, can I get a witness? Amen. We're all like, okay, we got to do what we got to do, you know, but we're all having these, you know, multiple feelings in our heart. In the same way, there is a difference in our life between stopping and being still. Someone can make you stop, right? Is going through TSA and they're like, hold on, ma'am. And you stop because you don't want them to open up your luggage, see all the toiletries that shouldn't be in there. You go down the list, right? You don't want to get stopped. If you're driving your car down the freeway and, you know, God forbid, you see the lights, you know, in your rear view mirror, you're going to stop. You can be made to stop, but it is a decision of our will to be still, right? Someone can make you outwardly conform to stop, but we have to make the decision. Being still is from the inside out. Jesus always works from the inside out. Religion is from the outside in. Jesus says, no, everything begins in the heart, from the inside out. We see this concept of being still or resting several times in the Word of God. It's really an overwhelming theme. In fact, the only commandment of the Ten Commandments that was referred to as holy was the Sabbath, was being still, was a time of rest. It was the only of the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are good, right, and true, but I am glad that I do not no longer live under the law. The Ten Commandments are good, but they have no ability to save me. That's why Jesus came, to fulfill the law so that you and I could walk in a righteousness that we never had to earn, that we couldn't earn in the first place, right? But now we just get to receive because of his finished work on the cross. I like to say it this way. We don't have to live in the have to anymore. We get to live in the want to, right? We don't have to live on conforming and trying to be righteous on the outside, but we get to live in the fullness of the life that is given to us by Jesus Christ. So it's beautiful that we get to live in this time. Hebrews 4 is such a rich and beautiful chapter, and it introduces and talks about this concept of rest. And it introduces us as followers of Jesus to this concept of already, but not yet. Already, but not yet. And as it begins to talk about the concept of rest, we begin to understand that the fullness of the expression of rest that is found in Jesus won't be found on this side of eternity in its entirety, but it is on the other side of eternity that we will enter into the ultimate rest, the finished work. That is eternity, come on, with Jesus in his presence, worshiping, come on. We won't have to sing, this is how I fought my battles, the battle's already been won, right? But we're just worshiping at his throne, come on, we're bowing down, we're coming back up. We're seeing a new facet of his glory and who he is. We're surrounded with the for all time and eternity, all of the followers of Jesus and our loved ones that have gone before and those that we admire and people we read about in the Word of God. And we'll be there worshiping for an eternity around his throne. But it still says that in this life, we can experience this rest. And it makes the distinction, and it says this phrase, and I like how the Passion Translation puts it, because it says, we can enter into the faith rest. Faith rest. And we realize that as followers of Jesus, we have an opportunity to step into the finished work of what Jesus has accomplished for us, meaning if I need grace, if I need hope, if I need love, if I need joy, if I need these things, if I need the strength of the Holy Spirit, if I need encouragement, if I need life, if I need to push away negative thinking and negative thoughts, that I have the ability to take that step of faith and enter into that rest. But that still, while I am on this earth, right, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but I still definitely had a bad attitude when the Starbucks barista told me to put my mask on. Already, but not yet. I am righteous, but I am not fully developed. Already, but not yet. I might get a headache. And thank you, Jesus, that every sickness and disease was nailed on that cross, Lord, so I can walk in fullness and health and life and prosperity. Already, but not quite yet. The fullness is not yet seen, but we are able to have days of heaven on earth if we will take that step of faith to enter into that rest. And then, as only the Bible can do, I don't know if you have ever been reading the Bible and it seems like mutually exclusive terms are introduced in the same portion of scripture, and it seems like the Bible is contradicting itself. So it gives us this beautiful chapter about faith, rest, and entering in and taking that step of faith and receiving everything that Jesus has done and what it will be like in eternity. And it's so great. And it gets to the very end of the chapter and it says, so if you have needs in your life, I want you to come boldly to the throne room of grace and find favor with him. And I want you to be strengthened. If you feel weak, I want you to feel strengthened in your inner man. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, because I thought we were talking about like rest and peace and joy. I don't really want to be strengthened, because what am I getting strengthened for? Have you ever noticed how like the Bible's like, walk in his grace, lean into it. It's not about your effort or your works. It's just about receiving. But then stand, and having done all, stand therefore and put on the armor of God. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought the battle was finished. Why? What's going on? And it seems like it's mutually exclusive terms, right? It's like, I'm resting, but now I'm standing. And then I'm leaning into his grace, but I'm fighting. But I don't, oh, it's like so confusing. So what are we fighting? If the battle has already been won, if we're supposed to, meant to walk in his victory, if we are meant to overcome like he has overcome, and we have the ability as followers of Jesus, what are we fighting? Can I submit this to you today? This is my thought. When we get to heaven, Jesus will say, I was right. I think what we are fighting is the mindsets of this world. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right thinking leads to right believing. Right believing leads to right living. Jesus always is inside out, not outside in. As I think, so am I. And what happens is when we come to Jesus, we are now given a new perspective. We are given a new worldview. We are given new eyes to see. We do not believe, see, speak like the world does. The Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. Any thought that isn't in Jesus' mind, sitting next to the Father in heaven, I don't have to have or entertain in my mind. I've been given a new mind. So as I think, I will walk out. But the mindsets of this world try to entrap us. The mindsets of this world set sieges on our minds, because the enemy knows that he can make our life of no effect if he just keeps us thinking like everybody thinks in the world. If he just keeps us seeing like everyone else sees the circumstances in the world, if he just keeps us living, right, on the basis of whether there's a Republican or a Democrat, or whether, right, or the disunity or the frustration in our nation and in our world, just looking, right, at the different arguments, if he can keep us focused on that, looking at that, and thinking the thoughts of this world, all of a sudden, the overcoming, victorious human being that I was meant to be in Jesus is nullified and void. Because right thinking leads to right believing, and right believing, come on, leads to right living. As I think in my heart, so am I. Psalm 46 is such an interesting psalm. It's a very unusual psalm. King David wrote many of the psalms. King David was a warrior king. He was a man after God's own heart. He gave us a lot of new covenant ideas and theologies, even though he was living in an old covenant world. But many of the psalms that King David wrote were often, because he was a warrior, about hand-to-hand combat. They were about engaging the army. They were about swords and shields and lift up my head and let me smite, you know, whoever. That's a good Bible word right there, Christian word that nobody knows what we're talking about when we use, right? You know, let me smite the enemy and, you know, things like that. But Psalm 46 is different. Psalms 46 is written from the perspective of a city under siege. But this is not a battle that will have to be fought by the people in the city, but this is a battle that will be fought by the Lord. This is not one that will need hand-to-hand combat, but it's a city under siege, and they begin to lift up, exalt, and magnify who God is. It's written from a first-person perspective, meaning the writer of this poem, of this song, had already experienced the victorious power of following God. He had already experienced God winning battles and just, you know, unprecedented victories. And he begins to extol who God is. This reminds me of a story in the Bible where a prophet, Pastor Connor was referencing it, where a prophet was, woke up in the morning, the servant went outside and looked and saw that they were surrounded by the enemy, comes in and tells the prophet, "We're surrounded by the enemy." And the prophet prays for him and says, "Go back out, look again." And when he goes out, he still sees the enemy. Listen, we are not the people that we just live in denial, right? We're not the people that just forget about, "Oh, God will just take care of it. It doesn't matter." No, it matters. We can see the circumstance. But when the servant went out, he was given new eyes. He was given new perspective. He was not seeing just with the eyes of this world, but he began to see, come on, from a perspective of eternity. I thought that said Eternity Church over there. That's why I was referencing, but it says love your life. Do that too. Amen. He began to see from a heavenly perspective when he went back out. That's why this song is so appropriate. Sometimes we think that we are under siege. If there was ever a time that the world's mind is under siege, it is now. We are living in unprecedented times. We thought that pandemics were for movies and Hollywood, right? And a few zombie specials that we watched. We never thought that we'd be walking around, right, masked and sanitized and sprayed and separate. We thought that was just gonna be a movie, and now the unthinkable is happening. And then you put on top of it disunity and unrest and just the vileness that is going on in politics in our day. And that's not a political statement. Please vote. But that just that we have demonized one another. We can't even have conversations in our nation anymore and agree to disagree. And the climate that we are living in leaves our minds under siege. We don't even have to turn on our televisions. We just open our phone in the morning and Yahoo News comes right up. And every morning we see something different, and this is going on, and fires and wars and rumors of war, and we're under siege. Psalm 46 gives us two beautiful perspectives. It's a juxtaposition of the world's reality and heaven's reality. It gives us a beautiful picture of a mind that is being bombarded by the thoughts of this world, but that continues to live out victory. In verse 2 of Psalm 46, it says, "So we will never fear, even when every structure of support were to crumble away." What do we do when the things that gave us so much support and security in our lives seem to crumble away? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you just couldn't agree to disagree and there's no relationship there anymore. Maybe somebody walked out. Maybe someone had to move. Maybe it was, you know, a support system or a small group or a church. I don't know what do we do when it seems like where we found security is being stripped away from us? It continues, we will not fear even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. Now, I think that this writer is very, very ambitious because I would just like to go on record and saying we have one major mountain in Las Vegas, Mount Charleston, and we live about 4 hours from the Pacific Ocean, Newport Beach, Orange County, California. It's beautiful down there. But if I woke up one day, I don't know that I'd be particularly surprised, but I would be very concerned and not fearing. No, I would fear. If Mount Charleston was all of a sudden at Newport Beach, like, I'd be like, whoa, I mean, it is 2020, but oh my gosh, right? Like, an ambitious writer is telling us, what do you do when the landscape of your life looks totally different and you can't, it's like you don't even recognize it. You had everything kind of in a row, and maybe you started a business, or maybe you just got a new job, and all of a sudden everything changed. You thought you had your kids in a great school, and then they came home and told you you had to teach them without killing them. What do you do when it seems like these beachheads in your life, it's like everything is just gone. The routine is gone. The security is gone, and with it, your confidence seems to be waning. Verse 3, for the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. What do you do when it seems like you can't just take a breath? The emotions, the feelings, the anxieties are bombarding your mind, your heart, your spirit. I don't feel like a particularly emotional person. My husband is very emotional. You can only have one of those in a marriage. Thank you. I feel you. And I have found myself having great degrees of separation between my emotional state. I'm just feeling like, what is happening? What do you do when you feel like your confidence is waning? It's a little bit overwhelming. The fear, the anxiety, the anger, the frustration, the why is overwhelming your soul. Verse 10, as the band comes back. All of a sudden, we go from talking about the great victory of who God is. And now we transition, and now God is speaking to us. And he says, surrender your anxiety. Why do we hold on to anxiety? Why do we hold on to anxiety? Why don't we hold on to hope? Why do we think about it, meditate on it, mutter about it, talk about it, post about it? Is it because life just feels insecure? Does it feel like we have, you know, we're out of control? So we just try to hold on to something? What if we surrender those things to him? Then be silent. Stop your striving, and you will see that I'm God. You know, it's funny. I go to spend time with the Lord, and my kids know. Like, when I shut that door and put the family text out, like, I'm praying, do not bother me. There better be blood everywhere for you to knock on this door. Like, it is serious. And I'll put the worship music on and open my Bible and get ready to spend some time with Jesus. And this is just the funniest thing because I don't do the grocery shopping in my household because I'm an impulse buyer. are my people here? Any impulse buyers out there? So great. I go to the store. I find all kinds of fun things that we need. I don't come back with anything on the list, but I spend a lot of money, right? I think it's great. And very early on in our marriage, my husband realized this, and so he took over the grocery shopping. By the way, that was a stroke of genius, so that was a free one for all you newly married people out there. Anyway, didn't do it on purpose, but wow, that really worked out. So he does the grocery shopping, but you know what's so funny? I'll go to have quiet time with Jesus, and it's like everything I've never bought comes to my mind of like why we need it, and like I need to rush right now to Whole Foods to get it, you know? It's just so funny. And I grew up in church, and I remember in the 80s, and there was a huge prayer movement, and it was beautiful and really, really helpful. And there was a lot of emphasis on prayer and ways to pray and prayer cards and outlines, and I'm really grateful for that heritage. But one thing I always thought was just redundant was petition prayers. I just thought, why do I need to tell an all-knowing God what he already knows, right? And like, if it's already written in the word that I've overcome it, like, I don't even know why, like, I'm rehearsing it, right? Like, it was just, like, this pragmatic, like, thought process. And as I begin to look in and live through these times and read about this passion of Scripture, and, you know, one of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Counselor. And you don't have to raise your hand here today who's ever been to counseling. I have been to counseling. I still will go to counseling. I'm headed to counseling next week. My children are thankful that I get counseling. My mother's thankful I get counseling. My husband, you should be thankful. Allie's thankful. My staff is thankful. Everybody is happier in my life because I go to counseling. You know what's funny? Sometimes I will come in and just rehearse the same old things with the counselor. Now, he knows me well enough, and he's an amazing man of God, spirit-filled. And he can like wade out all the, you know, the whatever I'm, you know, talking about or upset in the moment about and just go right to the heart of the issue. You and I realize sometimes we need to come to him and we need to get all of these things off our shoulders. Surrender them to him. It's not redundant. He cares for us. He loves us. Yes, he already knows. And he also knows by speaking some of those things out loud, it just takes them off our mind. Why? Because there's nothing worse than having a conversation with a person, but they do all the talking. Have you ever had a conversation with someone, they do all the talking, they ask you questions, but they answer their own questions? Oh, that's a pleasure. I found myself, maybe not you, stopping petition prayers, but not being still. If I'm asking him questions, why am I not waiting for the answer? 2 Peter, 1 chapter, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. I'm terrible at the address in the Bible. Anyway, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. Well, how come? How come there's so many frustrated Christians walking around, not living a victorious, overcoming, joyful, peaceful life? If we've been given everything we need, why are we not utilizing it? It's because I think we stop, but we're not still. Or stop, but our mind keeps going. We stop, but we don't take time to see God. Not my thoughts, your thoughts, God. I don't want to see with my own natural eyes. I want to see with your eyes. God, it is beyond me, but I thank you that this world is not my home. So I'm seeing with a new perspective. I'm understanding, Lord, with a new understanding. I'm thinking different thoughts. Lord, I thank you that I am an encouragement and a light to people around me. People are scared. People are afraid. People are angry. People are disunified. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that all of the things that you've given to me, I can give to others. Why? Because I see from a new perspective. I understand in light of eternity. I see with heaven's eyes. I see with God's eyes. Psalm 46 is letting us know we're going to have moments where we feel under siege, but we can live in victory. Hebrews 4 is reiterating it again, that we can step as an act of faith and say, thank you, God, for everything you've given me. I can hold fast to these things. And then the words of our Savior. And he said, life. You will have trials, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't insulate us from feelings. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't insulate us from circumstance or trials or issues or having to walk through in an attitude of faith. But I'm telling you, it will energize us from the inside out. And when the world looks at us and says, why are you not afraid? Why are you not angry? Why are you not anxious? How come you have a smile on your face? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I serve a great victorious God, and I feel the feelings, but I don't choose to see life from that perspective. We've been given everything we need. So what do you need today? It's found in His presence. What do we need? Do you need peace of mind? Do you need to feel loved and secure? Do you need healing? Do you need hope? It's found in Him. I invite all of us as followers of Jesus, if the world ever needed us, as if the world ever needed hope on hope, if the world ever needed not an answer that fixes everything, but an answer or an antidote to the overwhelming fear, discouragement, depression, and anxiety, it is now. And as followers of Jesus, we were always meant to be a reflector of that to the world. We were always meant to walk out the same circumstances, but walk them out from a different perspective, to be a beautiful, shiny example of the power of Jesus Christ that is alive in us and working through us to walk out this life. I don't want to leave that on the table. I don't want to live this life just complaining with everybody else about the mask. You know what the enemy loves to do? It's so funny. He lies to us and we believe the lie. Like, oh, well, once we get through this, we don't have to wear the mask anymore, then it will be better. Once life gets back to normal, did you really have that great of a normal life before this pandemic? I mean, I still had issues, right? I don't want to go back in any area of my life. I just want to move forward, right? There's no normal to go back to. There's no perfect solution. There's no season of life that will somehow just like part the heavens and the angels arrive and woo! There's no such thing. But if the enemy can keep have us looking for season after season, for circumstance after circumstance, right? For feeling after feeling, he can just keep us in this never-ending hamster wheel of just having the world's perspective. None of those things matter. They may line up, and that'll be a happy day, and let's celebrate those things when they happen. But they don't have to determine my state of mind. They do not have to determine my attitude. The health of my soul is not determined by my circumstances. It is determined by my relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing more beautiful. Any of us can be happy when life is good. But to be joy-filled and hopeful when it seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, that's a testimony of faith. That's a life that will preach to Iowa, our nation, and our world. Can I pray for you this morning? Two groups of people I want to pray for. The first group of people I want to pray for is, you're here today and you don't know Jesus. I'm not inviting you to join a church or religion. I'm inviting you into relationship with a person, and He loves you so much. I've already said it. We're not promising you a perfect life. We're not. But we are promising you a strength from the inside out. We are promising you even days of heaven on earth, that He'll be with you, He'll lead you, and He'll guide you. I don't know how anybody goes through this life without Jesus. I know I need Him more and more every single day. So if that's you, as we all just bow our heads, and you want to begin that relationship with Jesus, or you just kind of want to draw a line in the sand and, hey, from this day, I was walking with Jesus, didn't feel like I've been for a while, but from this day forward, I'm going to come back into relationship with him in my life, the Bible simply says to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart today, and you can begin that relationship with Jesus. But we're all going to pray this prayer together because it's so important that we rehearse our position in Christ, that we remember everything he's done for us. So come on, church, let's all say this prayer together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I turn and put my trust in Jesus Christ. I receive forgiveness of sins. I receive salvation. Holy Spirit, come on in. Change me from the inside out. I belong to God. I have a new perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just say thank you to the people that prayed that prayer? If you prayed that prayer this morning, would you do me a favor and take out your phone? From your heart, today you made that decision. Text SAVE to 25827. Jesus didn't promise us a perfect life, but one promise he did give us was that he would set the solitary into families, meaning we don't have to do life alone, and we were never meant to do life alone. We were always meant to do life in the context of community. This is a great community. This is a authentic community. This is a community that can be honest, right, about our shortcomings and know that we can come to Jesus for everything that we need. And I think this is a good house for you to get plugged into. So take a moment, send that text off, and let us give you some next steps for your relationship and your journey. Would you stand with me this morning? It's been my honor to be with you as always. Just so proud of the amazing church that you are. My husband Benny just sends his love. Our church in Vegas loves your church so much. We had a whole group that was just praying for you this morning and praying for all that God is doing here in Iowa. And I just believe God has so much more. Amen. I'm so thankful to just be in relationship with a God that is always looking to the future, that we go from glory to glory. Amen. That means there's good news in the future. That means there's good things in store for us. Come on. That God is working things together for our good. If you're here today, I want to pray for all of us, but maybe you just want to take the extra step and just kind of raise your hand. Just a commitment, not just to stop, but to be still, to listen, to receive what we need, to be the beautiful reflection to our community of the power of Jesus Christ and the power of his finished work on the cross. I just want to pray for you today that we would all learn to do that. But if you just want, you can just lift your hand right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are working in us. Lord, I thank you that there is many circumstances around us. Lord, our heart and mind can feel under siege today. We may feel some feelings, some thoughts may hit us, but we don't have to think those thoughts and we don't have to give in to those feelings. Lord, I thank you that hope would arise on the inside of every one of us and a hunger to be in your presence. And Lord, I pray that we would take that step of faith to enter into your rest, your peace, your joy, your loves. Lord, that we might be filled up to give it to others. I pray that you would meet us where we're at, Lord. Meet us where we're at. Lord Jesus, just open the heavens. I pray that there would be, Lord, that you begin to speak to us. Lord, that you would arrest moments in time. Lord, that we would turn to pray for someone, that we would offer an encouraging word. Lord, that we might even butt into a conversation just to share some joy and some love, Lord, in these trying times. Lord, may we be carriers of your presence, of your love, Lord, of your heart, Lord, to a very hurting, and divided world. May we be agents of change in our communities. In Jesus' name, come on, if you believe that, can you just say amen this morning? Amen, amen, amen.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, please visit myeternity.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.